Tonight on Detroit Dart Talk, Tim buys the Game Boy, Alex invests in agriculture, and Adam finishes small plastic figures, and Eric and Tom play the silent game. Peace out, bitches. Hashtag free stuff.
Oh, don't make me laugh.
Oh. Yeah, Adam, if you make us laugh too much, you're doing. If you make us laugh too much, you're doing the entire episode by yourself.
I'm back.
What was that?
That was an AI voice model trained from Jeremy Clarkson, but it was a real time voice changing model.
Oh my god, that was great.
I've got some other ones too that are pretty good.
We all know that's bullshit. That was just you doing a voice.
It was actually. I was really, really good.
I legit very thought good. It was at first. I was like, yeah. Damn, that's good.
It was pretty good. Yeah. I didn't have much practice today. You still got to nail some of the intonations and stuff. But all right. So what has everybody been up to?
Oh,
holding my gut.
Trying
it's one,
not to.
It's one of these
die.
Episodes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just Detroit sick talk where we talk about how sick we've all been.
Yep.
But yeah, I'm going on like 2.5 weeks of being sick, which is super annoying. But
jeez.
Despite that, I've been trying to finish up some design projects and get the 3 blaster releases I have.
It's hard enough for me ready. To get 1 blaster release out, let alone you put 3 in the pipeline. Oof.
Hey, you know what? I've never released a blaster.
Fair.
Not yet. But yeah, that's been my stuff, just working and trying not to die from random illness. What about you, Adam?
Dude, I don't know. Just, I was doing real good for a little bit, designing new things, because Alex basically made me. And working on firmwares, then we kind of, I don't know, other things kind of took priority for the moment, but I'm still chipping away at some stuff in the background. I want to get some time to really crank away on some new things here soon, or finish up some projects. But right now I'm doing a purge, trying to get rid of some old blasters that I don't really play with to make room for new ones. And just kind of decluttering, starting an early spring cleaning.
Nice.
I actually did just do something. I ordered like micro chest rigs for both of the boys.
Oh, cool.
So that they'll have chest rigs. Very cheap, lightweight, just has 4 rows of laser cut molly. So I gave them 2 of 2 quivers each, which will
nice.
Yeah, up their mag capacity for Survival Fest.
On that note, we can talk about some events coming up over the next few months.
Ooh. Events.
Yeah. Now, I'm not going to go in chronological order here, but I saw today that Maryland Mayhem HVZ portion announced their, like, kind of some of their starting rules, which was, I think, 6 rounds loaded. Kind of like how we do our sidearm rules where we have 10 rounds loaded.
Yeah.
Every player has to start off with 6 rounds loaded. And then you unlock, like, everything later on, but they said it can be any blaster, so like it could be an FDL with like an 18 round mag. It just can only have 6 darts in it.
That's going to be hard for them to
manage. Start.
Yeah, like you can top off your 6 darts, but you can never have more than 6 darts loaded. And I think they even said you can carry like potentially multiple blasters with 6 darts loaded. I was unclear on that bit, but yeah,
that's
that goes into a. Go ahead, yeah.
It sounds like that'll be very hard to regulate.
Potentially. I know, like, that's, from what I've heard, that's kind of par for the course for UMBC, because, like, they have, like, a weird mentality. Like, there's, like, 2 mentalities in a lot of HVZ I found, where it's, like, how do you account for the technology increase and all that? And then, like, one is you limit what they can use early to even out the zombies versus the humans, and the other one is you, like, make the zombies stronger. And UMBC's approach is to weaken the humans as opposed to strengthen the zombies traditionally. So that's kind of where that comes in. But that's a whole discussion unto itself. But yeah, there's one of the listeners, Luke, posted in chat the flyer, so, which I think were in our server earlier too. But yeah, so that's an interesting decision, but okay, it fits from what I've heard.
Like similar to Mall Mayhem? Like did Mall Mayhem start that trend or?
No, I don't think they started it. Mall Mayhem, my understanding is that was just more...
Mall Madness, sorry.
Mall Madness, yeah, sorry. Mall Madness, my understanding was that was more just about, like, they wanted to have a progression of unlocking and powering up.
Yeah, yeah.
So you start weak, whereas at UMBC, it's strictly because that's their way of trying to balance humans versus zombies early when the humans have firepower. Yeah, it's controversial, I would say. Like, there's big opinions and big feelings on both sides of that one.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand that if you can balance the zombie mods can balance out the game too. You know, it doesn't have to be just by firepower, but
right. But at that school, they don't tend to do as many specials as like we're used to seeing. So it's just a bunch of zombies. Yeah,
I can see that. There would be arguments on both sides of that, probably equally valid too. So,
yeah, and it's a lot about like historic culture, what your school's done for a long time. Yeah.
I mean, but that's part of the good things about going to do HVZ at other schools too. Because it's not every HVZ is going to be the same, nor do you want it to be the same, right? So,
right. Brain in our chat did post out a really good point that even though this is kind of par for the course for UMBC, it does fit their theme with. The outlaw from Dart Zone having six shots because it is Western themed.
Oh, that's cool.
Or even a hammer shot with a OTEC kit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what I'd go for because, you know, if somebody's using full links, then you can, you know, scavenge those.
But yeah, so that's one that was in the, I'm making the news circuits today. Beyond that, I think that same weekend is going to be my first event. That's not Z13 for the season, and that's Boiler Dome down at Purdue.
I'm disappointed. Trying to go to. I am so disappointed that Dan and I can't.
Yeah, where are you going to be, Tim?
We'll be in Disney.
Are you? Will you be in Disney or on the road back?
We'll be on the way back. And like Dan and I legit talked about, could we figure out a way to leave early enough to get to Purdue Sunday and play? Brain says that we should fly. Brain, we're taking 10 people.
Jeez.
It's my entire family and Dan's entire family. So we're driving and we're staying. Brain says they can find their own way. No, we're driving down Saturday morning. We'll crash somewhere along the road and make our way into town. Into Orlando sometime Sunday, and then we're doing park days Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with down days Tuesday and Thursday, so we can enjoy the resort, you know, pools, and we're staying at Port Orleans Riverside, but that also gives us access to all of the amenities that Port Orleans French Quarter has, which they have different pools and slides and. Cool. Poolside bars and all that type of stuff. So we'll have a couple of down days where we can, you know, go into Disney Springs and we've got the older kids watching the younger kids. I think it's Thursday evening, so we can go do an adult night at the Irish pub there in Disney Springs, Raglan Road.
Oh, nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. We're all doing lightsabers. Imogen's going to get a makeover at the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Mm.
And we've kind of been mapping out everything we want to see and do while we're there. So I think we've got a pretty good game plan to get in all the good stuff.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah, I used to go every year as a kid because my dad's mom lived down near Orlando. And I'm realizing that we really did the same thing year after year because I've never been to Epcot. Animal Kingdom wasn't a thing back then, but there's a ton that I've never seen or done. Down there.
Gotcha.
So I'm looking forward to it a lot.
Yeah. That'd be a lot of fun. It's been a hot second since I've been down there to any parks. Well, yeah, you mentioned Sunday for Boiler Dome, and that's going to be an interesting thing because for the last few years, Boiler Dome has been PvP tournament and Campus Clash. And this year, they're going to their Friday night kind of just like casual play games. Saturday is going to be the Campus Clash event, and then Sunday they're running HVZ. And it's been a hot second since Purdue's done like HVZ, as far as I'm aware. I think they've done it within their club, but not like a invitational type of thing. They'll be curious to see how many people go, because again, it's the same weekend as Maryland Mayhem, well, which is definitely a big draw.
I believe that both halves of Talon X Armory are going to be at Purdue.
I think one half is coming.
No, only one half. No.
Yep. And one that half might be staying in an Airbnb with us.
Damn it.
We're setting that up. I know there's at least one Pittsburghundian driving over too, so it should be a good crew. Should be fun. We'll have an episode about that into April sometime.
Really, but, really bumming that I can't go.
But you know what? You know what? You do get to attend, Tim. April. You do get to attend Survival Fest.
I do. And I'm looking forward to that, too.
I'm looking forward to wiping our whole Airbnb.
Screw you. I might have some personal merch for sale.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Like, not Invictus-themed merch or anything, but I found a good deal on something that kind of fits the theme of the event. So I ordered...
Color me intrigued.
Ordered a bunch. So come see me at the... Detroit Dart Talk table at Foam Nation.
Yeah, and there will be a lot of we will have a nice section of the convention. It's not Foam Nation this year. It's just HVZ convention or Survival Fest convention.
Okay.
Yep. But yeah, so, we're going to have what, three tables? Adam, you're getting a table, right?
Yeah, that's a plan. If I can get my shit together.
So do we have a corner table?
No,
we didn't get that.
Corner tables were for platinum.
Okay.
Now, theoretically, if all the platinum sponsorship spots don't go, we might get a corner table.
That'd be cool. Mm-hmm.
Also, because like two of the platinum tier sponsors right now are like not vendors or stuff. So I don't know if they want a table or not.
It'd be cool if like we could get the corner and then like Detroit Dart Works is on one side and Old Fusion Designs is on the other.
Mm-hmm. We'll have we can get Talonax next to us if we can play our cards right.
Yep. Oh, and the Patreons funded some new microphone stands that you guys will get to see.
Thank you.
Yes, thank you for your continued support.
Thank you, Patreons.
We had two or three microphone stands, but if everybody shows up, we have five hosts. So we picked up two more. So we've got four of the like quick adjust, like you just squeeze the grip and you can move it up and down. So we'll have
Those are nice.
Yeah, it'll be nice because everybody will have their own mic stands. The next thing we need to invest in is maybe some more headphones, because we only have two in the podcast inventory. I mean, several of the hosts have invested in their own gear.
Right.
But we only have two in the traveling kit.
Let's see. What else is there this year? There's going to be Indoor, whose dates are still not announced, but I have it on good authority that they will literally be announced any day now. They are waiting on one other task to get done to happen with the announcement. And then they will have publicly announced their dates. So, and their dates do not conflict with any other events, which is nice.
At this time.
Right. Once you announce your event, if some other event comes along, it's the other event's fault for conflicting, not yours.
We should schedule Z13 for that weekend.
No, because I'm going to be there that weekend, sir. No, I'm looking forward to it again. It's going to be down at UNCC again. I've been talking with them in some of the folks who are working on the game down there. It sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. Like, there's some cool mechanical ideas going on, and The theme is something jungly. They haven't officially said it, but they've released enough tidbits to know it's jungle related.
Predator.
So that should be kind of fun.
I honestly,
it will fit if it's stupid hot again.
I honestly would like to go. I can't swing too big.
Yeah.
Trips this year, especially with doing Disney.
Mm-hmm. That's always the question. Like the only way I'm able to go is because my family lives like 2 hours away from there.
Yeah.
So we can wrap the big trip in the summer down to visit them with it.
And I assume that Eric will be joining you.
I think that's the plan.
Yeah, I have.
I hope that's the plan.
I have a little something for you to take to him.
Yeah, no problem. But beyond Endwar, I don't know what else there's going to be. Like, I'm assuming there'll be another Mall Madness game. And if I go to that, we'll kind of be up. I'd like to go to experience it, but I know several people were kind of not sure they'd want to go again. So I think that'll depend on my availability and, you know, how many friends are going. But it's something I'd like to experience at least once.
I assume that would be in October again?
I'm assuming.
Talk to me once it gets again, closer and we know a weekend. Maybe I can swing that.
Yeah.
Because as of right now, I don't have any other trips on my radar, be it Grove City or whatever.
Yeah, Grove City was one that I would have really liked to make, but I just don't think I'm going to be able to with the other stuff. So, because Grove City's doing a May the 4th Clone Wars game, sounds fantastic.
Yeah, I would have loved to have made that one.
So, we'll see. We'll see if that one pans out, but right now that's probably off my list. What about you, Adam? What are you looking forward to this year?
Basically, Survival Fest, and I think Endwar right now. I'll try and sprinkle some other events and stuff in if I can, but since we still have Willow's still pretty young, I'm trying not to take too many weekends away.
Yeah.
So, those two, especially because part of the draw to go to those is, to support friends and stuff for Survival Fest. But also to go and have a table and, you know, distribute some merch and maybe a few blasters and that sort of thing. Speaking of which, I need to probably get on some new patch designs and some new things to actually sell at the friggin' table. And same thing and I think that Endwar and Survival Fest will be spaced apart enough for me to recover. Mainly FoamCon, right? So,
yeah.
That's the hope there. And hopefully nothing gets in the way, but I am excited to go to. I don't think I went to any big events except for Geneva last year.
You went to the Geneva game with me. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. So I'm excited to go to some big events. I won't be able to do Mall Madness probably, but Ragnaroktoberfest, but.
Yeah, Rag's on my bucket list, but that is such a haul and so expensive. Yeah,
it is.
You know, it's even an even bigger haul that is on my list eventually is FoamFest.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yep.
Agree there.
You know what else is on my list?
What's that?
April Z13.
Oh, yeah. Everyone listening, Z13, April 6th. Be there.
I think we'll be reviving our April Fool's game mode.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I got to figure out. I just need to do the card. I found the artwork for that already.
We can do Infection of the Survival Colony, but you just set all the timers to the exact same time.
Oh, boy. Now that would be pandemonium.
Every single one.
Every single timer. Except one. Leave one person. Oh, God. Leave one person.
Oh. That's evil.
Well, if there's no more event chatter, we can move on to some Nerf news. So let's talk about Dart Zone.
Dart Zone.
Yeah.
So I just posted in chat the recent leaked hotness from Dart Zone that's now starting to make the YouTube rounds. And these are the Nexus Pro X and Aeon Pro X.
Ooh.
And they also have a SCAR and BCAR, which you can buy separately, is my understanding. So we have an injection molded BCAR.
You know, that Nexus Pro X, that's dark. That's only a step or two off of Paint Your Blaster Black. I don't know how I feel about that.
I would need to see the purple in like sunlight to see, because purple is that weird color where it's either going to look really bright or really dark and never in between.
Yeah, that's true.
But it's the same vibe as that. I mean, it's literally, I think, the same purple camo, purple, blue, pink camo they had on the original Nexus as an option, too. But yeah, it's interesting. I don't know how I feel about it. It's got like a faux barrel, which I think is where you stick one of the scars when you're not using it. And then the barrel is actually like below that.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
And that's always been kind of weird for me, especially with springers, when you're trying to aim and the barrel's like not along the top of the blaster, you know?
Yeah.
Like it makes your sight picture hard to adjust sometimes.
What's that gray thing on the side Picatinny rail? Is that a flashlight holder?
I believe so.
Interesting.
Yeah. That, it looks like a flashlight or a laser pointer holder.
Would it also, I was going to say, would it also hold the SCAR, the spare barrel thing? Or I think that stows in the front, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you want to take both of them off, maybe it's a hold it. I don't know. Brain posted a picture from Drax's video with his Toy Fair, Nuremberg Toy Fair lighting. And it does look a little brighter, but nope, Brain didn't post that. Luke posted that.
Oh, yeah. You stow it in the front.
Yeah, they're both from Pittsburgh, from Philadelphia.
The dual barrel thing is kind of a cool look.
It's a cool look. It's vaguely AK, which I don't know how I feel about. Like, I don't think it's close enough to make that comparison, but
I'm trying to figure out what I think. The MP7 from Half-Life 2 has like a double barrel kind of thing. MP7.
But yeah, one of the big things I noticed about this, and full disclosure, I have not watched any videos or read anything about this, but what I do notice is that there's not a full-length magwell on it.
Oh, you're right.
It is half dart only, so we won't have the slop.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. Is
also the case for the Aeon Pro X.
I was going to say what's weird is like, oh, it's got the double mag releases too, but I mean, you're right, it's... I kind of dig what they're doing with some of their lineup, like going this angular retro style. Like the Tomcat really, I feel like, helped usher that kind of, I don't know, it just feels like you'd see this in, I don't know, like an 80s, you know, space gun advertisement, right? Yeah. Like colors and angles and all.
What is the second mag release for?
It's the same thing. It's so you can grab the mag and pull
do it with one hand. It's a multi, like the FDL 3.
Yeah.
You can either hit it with your trigger hand or flop it when you grab it the mag to pull it.
It just looks chonkier than the regular Nexus Pro, but that's probably not a bad thing. Like it's vertically thicker.
Yeah. Is it though?
I'm pretty sure it is.
I mean,
I think the regular it's a Nexus
Pro, the four barrel, like scooped down on the regular Nexus. So I think they're just continuing the Picatinny line because a lot of the body kits we saw for the original Nexus did that.
Yeah, it might just be a little more filled. To me, it looks like the under barrel area goes further down. But that's also because the barrel is literally further down in this one. But that also means that unless they're doing some really wonky stuff, there's not going to be a spring running into that buffer tube. So,
yeah,
I wonder if it's more akin to the Aeon Pro
setup. Well, maybe.
It's not going to be direct if it's going into the buffer tube.
Wait, so the barrel is the real barrel is the bottom, right?
The real barrel's the bottom.
Hmm.
Yeah,
I feel like there's not really enough room to put that plunger tube directly behind. Oh, yeah, there you go. That's what I was thinking. There's going to be like a turnaround thing.
Is there?
Yeah.
It's just
a redirection.
Yeah, it's a scoop, kind of like the Hammer Shots plunger tube.
Yeah, it's offset. It's like completely not in line with the barrel at all. Like it's like one whole dueler above it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But you're still priming it directly, so you're not really gonna get like that moment, that torque. Oh, yeah. And the spring does go into
it. Does go into it. I'm seeing that now. Yeah.
Yep.
Interesting.
They made that thing thicker than a Snicker.
You know what else? There's no jam door.
Your jam door. Jam doors are for failures.
Just don't jam.
Yeah. They're not gonna jam.
Easy. No, I've never heard of a dart zone blaster jamming, so I don't think we need to worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, ever. Or stock breaking ever.
Ever. Yeah.
Ever.
This is fine.
Especially at the Pro
Tour.
Well,
I mean, so I'm not opposed to, I think the spring going in the stock is fine for the buffer tube. It means the buffer tube will be robust and not a floppy weenie like the dart zone 1.2 or whatever. And you'll probably be able to use the adjustment caps too, right? So that's good. That's great to be able to get, you know, plus or minus like 30 FPS to tune.
I think I just realized the jam, the plunger or the spring, and this looks like it has like a spring guide. That's your jam rod right there. You just pop your spring off, clear your jam, put it back in.
I mean, you're not even kidding.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, oh, that actually might reach all the way.
I wonder if that's to intentional, the magma. Honestly.
That prime looks pretty short, too. Looks shorter than the old Nexus. The plunger tube looks short. That's wild. That spring is so fucking long for how short that plunger tube is. Like, yeah. You're getting like 20% compression on that spring, maybe. Meanwhile, like every fucking caliber and ever, you're like bottoming out the coils because slug only gives you, you know, 7 inches to work with. That's what she said. Sorry, that was immature.
So I was looking into that actually, like why the benefit of the long skinny springs are. And as far as I can see, like there's no great definitive answer, but I'm sure the physics people could probably explain it in a second, but from what I gather, it's because you don't have the most consistent like force being unloaded if you have full compression on a spring necessarily.
Yeah.
Like it's unequal as the spring is going out. Whereas if you compress a long skinny spring partially and you have pre-compression on it as well, it's a lot more of a like, yeah, it's not going to stress the spring, and it's going to have a more consistent, like, it's always going to be delivering within a smaller, like, standard deviation of,
and you know, compression. I think that's accurate, and I feel like the size of that spring, the diameter, is probably a result of, well, they want this, like, certain length over width of the spring for these characteristics, but maybe also to, like, fit in the stock, too. Like, oh, shit, we need like, a 20-inch spring, so let's just put that bitch in the stock.
Yeah,
so
that's the Nexus. What do we think about the Aeon?
Oh yeah, fuck that.
I don't like it visually, and the only reason I don't like it is it just looks like the Aeon.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Oh yeah, doesn't it?
It has a stock point now.
Oh, that thing is silly. And it's got the weird little double barrel doodlers too.
Yeah.
Let's talk about those magazines, though. Those magazines are hot, man.
Yeah.
You think
there's no talons?
Are they talon form factor? They look like it.
They don't look like they've got any funny ribs or anything like that.
It looks like the bottom looks like the same bottom clips as a standard talon. So, which makes sense. Like it is in this day and age, unless there is some sort of like patent on a design aspect, it doesn't make sense to go proprietary for your blasters because
you're only screwing yourself over.
I think generally they're fine. Like companies have found that in like the rare circumstance of like the Nightingale, people invested into that economy, but like the random, like the one-off blasters, like is it the Fire App that has its own proprietary mags and stuff? Like,
yeah,
you're not going to have huge investment in that, you know? And I think it's detracting from sales more than it's helping you sell more mags. Now I know in certain things like the Fire Rat, that's proprietary for like ergonomic reasons, but like the Nerf Pro mags not being completely compatible with everything and the ribs being weird on them, like that's a interesting choice.
I wonder if wonder if they'll have other colors besides the purple and the orange.
They don't need other colors. This is the only two you need.
Blue.
Nah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Yeah, the AR, it exists, I guess. We'll see. I'm sure we'll see some turn up at like the park wars and stuff. But the big one, which is actually the smallest part, is the P-car, or the B-car. Not P-car. B-car. There's an injection molded bearing scar.
Which is available separately, isn't it?
Yeah. I think you get a two-pack. You get the injection molded, like, P-car. I guess it's not... I don't know what to call that one. Idge car? Injection molded car? But yeah, you get the one that's just... molded car. You get that one, and you get the bearing scar in a two-pack. So, that's kind of cool. I don't know... Have we seen prices yet
for the B-car? I thought the B-car was already available.
I thought so, because I know I've seen a picture of someone receiving it on Reddit. But I don't know where it is.
Yes, it is on their website. $19.99 for...
That's not bad if it works.
Good.
Yeah.
That's
good.
Here, I'll post the link.
Well, you get both too, don't you?
You get both, yeah.
Yeah.
So, all our hard work in making gar barrels will be for naught.
Now, on the specs, it says that compatible blasters is the Mark 2.1. It doesn't say anything about cross compatibility with anything else. So,
yeah, that's an interesting thing.
Oh, and you know what? On that page, they do show the B car being stored in that little side clip.
Ah, yep, I see that. Now, from the look, okay, it does say on the page, compatible with most exposed metal blaster barrels. And there are pictures of it.
Probably.
Yeah. So it looks like it can, like, friction fit on. Oh, there's a plug. It looks like it has a plug that goes into it for when you are fitting it, I'm assuming, inside of a dart zone muzzle. And then you take the plug out, it's looking like, and then it will fit over a 16
yeah,
millimeter.
Okay. I see there where it says compatible with most exposed metal blaster barrels.
Yeah, I stuck that picture in chat. So that's interesting. I'll be very curious to see if it works. Yeah, it was brought up that the B-car looks like it can screw and come apart. So that's potentially interesting. Like, I don't know what the benefits of taking it apart would be.
You can put the internals into a 3D printed external enclosure to incorporate it
into a blaster,
into your gin or FDL3.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see if that works.
Yeah, those are clearly Phillips head screws on the front of the barrel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that might be something worth picking up to check out.
Yeah,
I haven't put the really nice metal Gavin Fuzzy one on anything yet. But that's what I get for buying B-cars in wintertime when I'm not doing anything with springers. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, it's interesting to see Dart Zone doing more with the, I guess it's not really, is it still Adventure Force? Are they calling it? Yeah, they're calling it Adventure Force still. So,
yeah, because these are
with the Adventure Force
Walmart line. Exclusive.
Yep. Yep. So I'm curious to see what happens with, like, what's available at Target in the future, because they tend to, like, they have the Striker come out, stuff like that. But I'm following it. I'm curious to see where it goes. But, like, I don't know for me personally. Like, I've hit that point of blasters in the hobby where I'm just kind of like, it exists. I don't need it. Like, I still have some of the stuff. Like, I have an X-Shot Long Shot. And I literally bought it so that I can make an Acunub for it. Mm-hmm. And I kept it so that I can test fit the Acunubs to make sure, like, printer tolerances didn't change or something. But, like, beyond that, it's just a loner. So, I don't know if I'll be picking up either of these personally.
I'm more interested in the accessories.
I just put my X-Shot Long Shot up for sale.
I saw that.
Yeah, I just don't use it.
Yeah. It's a fun... There's nothing wrong with it, but it's kind of like... A, we don't do much comp play here in Detroit. We do some park wars in the summer, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, and if, at least for me, if you're doing a park war, like, I'm running my best springer, which
right.
that is not. It's a good right. Springer, but I'm going to pick up my SBL or maybe my Harrier or even the Kirin over Bat Blaster every day of the week, probably. So, I mean, it's one thing to... This is my philosophy. It's one thing that, like, if you have a full-size Springer, like, they're kind of all the same to me, at least.
They're very like, similar, yeah.
Yeah, you shoulder the blaster, you prime it, you know, with the exception of, like, AEB or AEB or Auto Springer or whatever the heck you want to call it. They're pretty much the same in terms of feeling and pointability. But flywheelers just run the gamut of everything in terms of gimmicks and, you know, dual stage and single stage and form factors and all of that stuff. I tell you what could sway me back to getting another different Springer would be like if somebody came out with like a successor to the Lynx. And
isn't he doing a Lynx too?
I don't know. Well, the Lynx that we have or had is technically, if I remember correctly, the Lynx 2.
Yeah.
Because the first one was like a beta thing, and some people had it, but this is like, you know, the one, but they never called it the Lynx 2. It's just called the Lynx, I think.
I swear I saw him in something recently. Was it maybe? It was on the Out of Darts TikTok page.
You're probably right. He's probably working on something.
I know there's a lot of variants.
I swear he actually called it Lynx 2 or Lynx 2.0.
Well, I mean, he's been working on the Dan pistol too for a long, 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 long time. So, I mean, who knows if he'll come out with it. I hope he does. You know, Dan pistol and Lynx 2 or 3 or, you know, Half-Life 3, whatever. But I think that's kind of what we're missing. Like, the Lynx is great, but I do know quite a few people that have had issues with sealing. And the turnarounds and stuff. So.
Yeah, I don't people use mine.
Literally here.
Yeah, so
mine's mostly working finally with the improvements I made. But God, that was a labor of love.
But to be fair, think like
there is room in the hobby for it.
To be fair, I don't use my SBF either because I have issues with that.
For SBL.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Like that's one of the issues with the high performance, like 3D printed springers is. If there's anything wrong in it, you might have issues. And those issues tend to cascade into each other. Because, like, I know with the Lynx, when I was fixing it, it was like, oh, the seal's wrong. Well, I have to fix that. And as soon as I thought I had fixed that, like, the trigger and the catch weren't actuating right when they had been before. And I'm like, how? I didn't change anything that interacted with that. Okay. But it just cascaded into switching out a bunch of parts for what other people had done to improve upon the original design, which... It's cool that those are available, and, like, I do love that blaster. Like, I won't sell that Lynx, even if it gives me a headache, because, like, that was one of the blasters Adam printed me, like, early on. And so, like, it has sentimental value, and I put in so much work that it's like,
Right. Yeah, so. I'm with you there. I don't think I'm ever going to sell my Lynx, because, I don't know, to me it was one of my first, like, hobby-grade printed Springers that I actually liked. So I gotta be right back.
Yeah. I mean, I honestly would sell mine if it worked properly. Yeah. You know, I'd honestly probably sell it at this point. But I don't want to, you know, even offer up something knowing it doesn't work.
I mean, you can sell it with the caveat of this has been giving me issues. It does not work right. It's yours to, you know, pay me X amount and you can fix it.
Yeah, maybe.
But you're also not going to be able to sell it for much. So it's kind of like, right. Do you want to try to make money back at some point or not? And that's a whole debate on selling blasters that like you've fallen out of like with.
Yeah.
But no, I would say I've definitely become a flywheel person.
Agreed.
Like AEBs are cool. I've never used one beyond like firing the CW76 when Adam had it a few times. But, like, Springers are cool. I will pick a Springer, at Park Wars, I will generally gravitate towards Springers, actually, because, like, I'm a big, slow, old guy. I'm not the one rushing up the middle, spraying darts everywhere. I'm the one staying back, picking off the people doing that. So I want the accuracy.
And that makes sense.
But HVZ, like I have my HVZ Springer. It's my Tomcat, and I love it. It's a wonderful blaster, and has not failed me yet. But I would much rather have that snappiness of like a flywheeler that you can just continue to shoot shots, and you don't tire yourself out, and you don't jam, and all that.
Right.
Well, I shouldn't say you don't jam, because jams do happen, but only when you're, you know, in the dark at indoor in a large crowd.
Shut up.
You
jam. Shut up. Damn you.
But yeah, I don't know of any other, can't think of any other big like blaster news recently. Like Nerf Pro's been quiet since the Strife X or whatever came out.
Yeah.
You know, that's an interesting thing that just occurred to me. Nerf called it, there's the Strife X, and Dart Zone's calling there's the Nexus Pro X. So they're both picking X.
That was not lost on me.
I just noticed, like, just had that realization. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah, I totally assumed that was taking shots at Hasbro.
Well, as long as we get innovation in the hobby and what's available, especially, I will give Dart Zone this. While their stuff is not my cup of tea anymore, generally speaking. You know, I have the Tomcat, I love it, but I'm not going to buy the Nexus Pro X and stuff. It's still like a $50 blaster, so it's like great entry-level stuff. Like, I think it'll keep going with what the Nexus was doing for, like, new person gets into the hobby, shows up at their local club's Park War, with like, oh my god, my, you know, old Stampede just doesn't hold up. What should I get? Well, what do you have? You know, how much are you looking to spend? Oh, I could spend $60. Oh, go get this from Walmart. Pick up a few mags. There you go. You're set.
Exactly.
Like, that is great for the ability to grow the hobby and have those new people feel like they're able to compete. Because one of the worst things in a hobby is when you join and everyone's out competing you and you just feel like, okay, well, I am just the bottom of the totem pole. So no one enjoys that. Now, Luke in chat pointed out that someone's that's allegedly potentially 200 FPS blaster.
Hmm.
And I did notice on the Walmart listing for it, you know how they have like the range claims, and usually it's like 125, 150. This one's 200 feet range claim.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, that's big. I think that's the highest power blaster available that was that, like, from a retailer, not from like the manufacturer directly. So it's interesting because it's gonna push that line of what counts as a toy and what counts as like a sporting good.
Yep, definitely.
And that came up like earlier this year, last year, I guess not, it was, yeah, last year. That was a big thing with like some LOL clarifications that were happening, I remember. So yeah, but also, like, I don't know, if it's a 200 FPS blaster, that's great if your club has a 200 FPS cap for people to come in and feel competitive.
Yeah.
That's not great for the people who just buy the cool looking tactical thing and want to show up to play HVZ.
Fair.
Which we already had that issue with the Nexus being over the cap. But I don't know. I don't know. I do know if this is a 200 FPS blaster, there's one thing that we need to remind everyone to do. You know what that is, Tim?
Wear eye protection.
Wear eye protection. So, story time for our listeners.
Oh, God.
I'm running into the last Z13 in February. We're doing a mission. We come in, and here comes Zombie Tim after me, and I fire off a shot from the gin, and I just hear, ow! And Tim is clutching his eye.
No, I was... Well, yeah, I guess I did afterwards, but
you literally said ow and covered your eyes.
So I had realized, and as I realized, you were coming. So I was going to get tagged out either way. So I kind of hunkered down, held my elbow over my eyes, and you managed to scoop a dart around my elbow.
Right. So I had a moment of panic. I'm sure Tim had a brief moment of panic, was like, oh, crap.
Literally.
And then I'm like, where's your eye pro? To the one of the admins. Yep. Jack in chat says the gen can just phase darts through arms now.
Apparently.
Oops. That was one of the wishes I made. If you buy a gen when it comes out, guys, you get 3 wishes. So use them well. But they will monkey paw you too. So just beware. But yeah, so Let that be a lesson, kids. Wear your eye pro. It's no fun for either person if someone gets shot in the eye. And I'm glad you're okay. Like, I'm making light of it because it's just humorous. And it was one of the club admins who forgot it. But that was actually a moment where I was a little scared because I was like, oh, crap. Like, what happened? And then you were like, oh, no, I'm fine. I'm fine. I was like, okay, good.
Yeah, it didn't actually.
Got my heart racing a little bit.
It didn't actually contact my eye. Like, it hit the skin, like, right below it, if I remember correctly.
Right. Well, you have a bad history of getting shot in the face.
Oh, that's true.
Like, I seem to remember in your basement, you literally eating a dart like, in your mouth.
Yeah.
He's got a face that just attracts darts.
Apparently.
But yeah. So, is there anything else that we had has been recent that we were going to talk about tonight?
We do have a good...
a letter to
letter
the host.
Letter the host, yes.
Ooh. We haven't done those in a hot second.
Yeah.
I know Adam had to step away for a minute, but I say we do one.
Yeah, but I would like Adam to be back for it. Let's see if we can coax him back to the microphone.
Yeah. I'm going to sell him. We're going to do that. But obviously, if he's busy with kids, don't rush it.
Right.
Yeah.
Ugh. So... in Adam's opening, he mentioned that I bought a Game Boy, and that's sort of true. I made my first purchase on the TikTok shop, and that was an Anbrdic RG35XX, which is a handheld ROM emulator. And it has Game Boy, Game Boy Advance, Game Boy Color, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Neo Geo, a bunch of arcade games, Atari. So, I mean, it's got probably like, no lie, probably like 8,000 games on it.
That's really cool.
It is. And I got a wicked deal on it, too. I don't know if they do. I don't know if TikTok Shop does a similar thing to like Temu, where your first couple of purchases are super cheap. But right now in the TikTok Shop, just the base, because this is the low end one. And depending on what accessories you get with it, they're going 55 to 80 for the entry level one. I got this for like 20 after a discount. So I figured I'd,
it's a good deal.
Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, yeah. I'm out $20, but, if I can catch another one on a good deal, I might even pick up more because it might be good, distractions to keep the kids occupied on the trip down to Disney.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that I'd spend $80 on another one that is basic, but if I could pick up another one, you know, under $40, maybe I'd say, I'd definitely pick up a second one, you know, to throw one in each of the boys' hands, and then maybe pick up one of the higher level ones to replace the one for myself, because the more powerful ones can even do game systems as late as like Dreamcast, PlayStation Portable, PS2. So
that's cool.
Yeah. They're
the handheld gaming like renaissance has been really cool. And like, I'm glad to see a lot of those retro games getting a second life.
Yeah.
And like I have them on the Switch. Like I have like the Switch Online where you can go play a selection of like old NES or Super NES or
right,
like, 64 games. But like, it's like, it's running in an emulator on the Switch. And so like the controls just seem a little laggy. Like, it doesn't quite have that nostalgia.
Yeah.
And the picture you showed me, it looks like a chonky Game Boy.
It's very slim, but it is designed to invoke the nostalgia of the original Game Boy. It's got that color gray. It's got the black and, like, maroon buttons. It does have triggers on the backside, which is cool. And it also has a mini HDMI out, so you can project it up to a TV if you want.
Nice.
And I know the higher level ones have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi, and like if you and another person are playing the same game, you can do multiplayer, you know, through the Bluetooth. So it's a really neat ecosystem. And I know there are some other brands out there too. Anbrdic is the one that I recognized right out the gate, so that's what I went with. But I think there's a couple other like good reputable hardware manufacturers in this market as well.
Yeah, for sure. And for me, I was finally getting FOMO of all the PC games that I can't play.
Yeah.
So I went and bought a Steam Deck, and I'm waiting for that to ship and get delivered.
Now, what exactly is a Steam Deck? Is it a portable system?
Yeah, it's basically a Nintendo Switch, like the solid one where you don't take the sides off, that has Linux and runs a bunch of stuff from Steam.
Okay.
Like from the Steam store. Yeah. So it's like, it's essentially a tiny, tiny gaming computer.
Now, the...
And it has a dock. You can buy a dock, which I did buy, and plug it up to monitors or a TV. You can hook a keyboard and mouse up to it if you don't want to use the onboard controls. You can sync any Bluetooth controller. Like, I have 3 Bluetooth controllers for the Switch, and they all should be compatible with the Steam Deck. Nice. So, yeah, it's kind of like a PC Switch.
And, like, you mentioned that it runs on Linux. The Ambernic, the stock operating system, is Linux-based. But there is a community-made custom OS that adds a lot of functionality, and you can do custom themes and skins and icons and stuff. So
yeah, I know people have like partitioned the Steam Deck and like installed Windows on it and stuff too.
Yeah. Virus wants to know DDT RetroPie Win. So,
but yeah, it'll be nice change of pace to get that in. I just got to finish up these blaster designs before I go into that time sink.
Yeah.
And then I'm also working on, you know, Survival Fest stuff in the meantime. And we're
how's that
gearing
coming
up for... It's coming along. It's coming along. We're... I don't think it spoils much to say, like, we've got all the missions drafted out for the entire event. They just need a little more meat in them. So we're going to... We have rough drafts, and we're about to go into final draft mode. And yeah, it's a lot of really talented individuals. So we're going to get that done. And then I think once that's done, it's a bunch of social media releases and registration portals and documents. And then before we know it, it's going to be traveling to Pennsylvania. So I am knowing I am fully invested in this and an biased source, I think we have put together a very fun game.
Depends
and I'm
on
looking
how quickly
forward
I
to
die.
Seeing how everyone. What was that?
Depends on how quickly I die.
Well, that depends on which paths you take, because you'll have some choices.
Okay.
But the real question is, are you going to Troll Squad if that's an option?
You know, I never have Troll Squatted.
I brought that up because we had talked about that in the past.
Maybe.
I'm not saying there will be a Troll Squad or not. But if there was one,
maybe.
Good to know. But yeah, no, there's some. So Sean and Squirrel Slayer in chat says, what are Troll Squad exactly? So for those of you who don't know, Troll Squad are essentially volunteer zombies to get the horde going. So like mission one, you'll have your OZs, who are just the players starting as zombie and will plan to play zombie the whole day. And then you might put out a call for Troll Squad, or you might just have a group become a Troll Squad, where they pick the group, they go meet the person, and they're like, oh, by the way, put your blasters up, you're actually going to play Troll Squad this mission. And usually it's generally telegraphed beforehand, but so you basically trade that one mission to buff up the zombie horde, get some tags, get the snowball effect rolling, and in exchange, you get to go back to being a human after that mission's done.
I mean, if you think about it, that's kind of baked into the essence of what Z13 is.
Yeah. Yeah, where we just take turns.
Yep.
But yeah, no, it's a good mechanic, I think.
And it gets its name from End War 17, you know, the legendary designer, Anna Kohler. The first mission had, I think there was like 6 or 7 different paths you could do. And they were all, it was like Fierce Squad and Stealth Squad, and one of them was called Troll Squad. And if you chose Troll Squad, you were not told ahead of time, but when you went for the sub-briefing for Troll Squad, they let you know to drop your gear, and you were going to play zombie for just that mission.
Yeah, so that was, I think Troll Squads have generally been a part of End War since then.
Not always, but often.
Yeah, I know they were for the Harry Potter year 19. Slytherin house was Troll Squad.
Oh, yeah.
And then I don't remember at RIT, but I know last year at Charlotte, there was a Troll Squad call put out. But that one was less formal. That was not like a, oh, if you're in this group, guess what? It was the mods went around and were like, hey, we would like some volunteers.
Yeah.
Which is a fine way to do it. And then last year's Survival Fest, Passive, there was a Troll Squad in Mission 1 as well.
There was also a troll later in the day. Troll in the bathroom. Thought you ought to know.
I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, so that's the Troll Squad. I can neither confirm nor deny the existence of a Troll Squad at Survival Fest. But I'll just say it's a possibility.
Easy there, killer.
Oh, yeah, you call me killer now. Just wait. Just wait, depending on the path you choose.
Have we heard from
Adam? We have not heard from our errant host, so I think we should probably go ahead and start answering this letter to the host, and if he's back in time,
all right,
he'll join in, and if not...
So, Lightning Eagle 14 posed the question, if you had to replace your entire collection with one blaster you don't already own, but it can be any blaster or mod that already exists, what do you pick? I know the answer for this quite easily.
All right, what's your answer?
SBF.
That's a good answer.
I mean, if you think about it...
I can't use that one.
you own it. But if you think about it, my primary is always my FDL3 or probably more commonly now will be the Djinn, which is a fully tunable brushless flywheeler.
Mm-hmm.
And the SBF fits into that. So if I'm going to chuck everything, you know, if I had a fire and God forbid everything I own melted, and I could only replace it with one, I'd get the SBF.
Yeah. So this is hard for me because I have an SBF and I'm currently working on 3 brushless blasters or potentially brushless blasters. I would probably, all right, I'm going to say this if I don't have to pay full price for it. If I'm gifted the blaster for free, pew pew.
See, I thought about that. I thought about a pew pew as well.
Now, if I didn't have an SBF, that would probably have been my answer though, because the SBF just is a little more, I want to say like robust. It's a little more, it's got a little higher FPS cap. You can do a little more with it. You can play to Park War better. Pew Pew is amazing, but it is fairly limited realistically in what you can do. And now it'd be great for certain playstyles. Like, it's great for a run-and-gun playstyle, but a run-and-gun playstyle I am not. So, like, I don't know. But I think that would fill in most of the roles I would want if I couldn't have anything I currently own. So I'll say Pew Pew.
Fair enough.
And Lord knows what Adam's going to say. He'll probably say a pew-pew.
You're going to shoot him a text and see? Maybe he can come back for just a minute to answer.
I'll send him a message. Oh, I pinged myself.
Yeah.
No. For those who don't know, we have an Adam role and an Alex role, but we each have each other's role. Because people would confuse us. And I just pinged myself trying to ping Adam. All right. I don't think Adam's going to make it back.
All right.
I'm assuming he has a small child in his arms. Yeah. So next time, we'll make Adam answer that question.
Yeah. You got shout outs?
Oh, do I? I don't know.
Well, tell you what. I'll do my shout out.
You go first. Yeah.
And... I've always liked the idea of shouting out something that is not necessarily part of the hobby. Eric used to do this quite a bit. So my shout out today is to another podcast that I have been binging, and that is Fake Doctors, Real Friends, which is Zach Braff and Donald Faison. And it is a rewatch show where every episode they watch an episode of Scrubs and dissect and talk about it, and you know, they go basically they'll watch through and they'll make notes minute by minute, and talk about various things. And they'll have past guests on the, or, you know, like guest stars, they'll get to come on, and, you know, other, stars of the show and the directors and the showrunner, Bill Lawrence has been on several times. Very, very interesting, you know, getting to hear, you know, those people, you know, that who play characters that you fall in love with, you get to talk about, what went on behind the scenes. So
nice.
Yeah. It was a lot of fun.
Let's see. My shout out is going to be in the hobby. My shout out's going to go to our good friend Brain, because Brain has been keeping me sane over the last few weeks. He also delivered a really cool item I had been waiting on, which I might talk about another time, but not tonight. So yeah, shout out to you, Brain. Thank you for, our late night chats and stuff. Brain is also on the Survival Fest staff, so we've been working together on a lot of stuff and then, you know, chit-chatting in the meantime about life and stuff. So it's been nice to have that kind of outlet for some stress and stuff and reality checks and all that. So I appreciate you, man. Thank you.
I'm very curious now.
You probably know what it is, but we'll talk about it later.
All right. All right. Well, I guess that'll wrap another episode of Detroit Dart Talk up. We thank all of our Patreons for tuning in and listening, and we will catch you guys on the next episode.
Bye.
Boy.
And from Adam, bye. Why is Alan not muted, Tim?
Probably because he still has the guest role. I'll fix it.
That's funny.
Yeah, he still had the guest role.
He's muted now. Like, what's that noise?
Be fair, I thought my microphone was already off.
Well, I didn't hear anything until right then, and I just heard this noise like, bow.
Right when I sneezed.